Call Senate Labor and Commerce to order. It is 1:35, and it is February 16th. Present Senator Ben Stevens and myself, Bundy. Others are en route. We do not have a quorum, but we certainly can be began to take testimony. With that in mind, we have three bills before us today. SB 253 to extend the Board of Chiropractors, 254 extend Physical Therapist and Occupational Therapy Board, and a new bill, SB 289, an insurance bill. With a, as I observed last week, that was certainly a tight title. And I would like to take the last first because we want to have some testimony and won't move the bill today. The others were relatively minor bills and probably can address when we get a quorum. So, Ms. Hall, if that'll work for you. You're giving me that look.
No, I was not planning to be first.
No, you have to be first now.
Yeah. It's biblical, and the last shall be first. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Linda Hall, Director of the Division of Insurance. I'm here today to present the introductory comments on Senate Bill 289. I would like to talk about this 37-page bill in less time than it takes to read it. The bill contains numerous changes to Title 21 that are designed to do a number of things: to provide protections to consumers that purchase life, annuity, and health insurance, to ensure that state statutes are consistent with federal law and the National Association of Insurance Commissioners Model Acts and Guidelines, to update our internal procedures and transactions, and to make Alaska licensing more consistent with national standards. The majority of the 37 pages, which I apologize for up front, and then I won't say that again, deal with issues relating to life, health, and annuity insurance. What I'm going to try to do today is group these into sections by types of product lines that they cover. And as I said, the majority of this bill covers life and health and annuity products. To start with, I would like to talk about sections 3 through 23, all in one fell swoop. And what we've done here is bring individual policy, health insurance policies, into the same statutes as group insurance, health insurance policies. So the same protections are there for individuals as are currently there for covered people under group health insurance policies. Probably the biggest of those protections is the provision of both an internal and particularly an external appeal process for claim denials. The amendments to these sections will make these applicable to the individual health policies.
While we pause to recognize the presence of Senator Seekins. Thank you. Go ahead.
The other changes in these sections from 3 to 23 are not substantive in nature, and they're cleanup terminology designed to make the terms consistent with federal and state law. We have replaced the term health care with medical care. We've removed group because they will now deal with all health insurance policies, and replaced enrollee with covered person. So there in that little bit, I've covered the first 14 pages of the bill. Section 31 sets a minimum requirement that a person may not recommend a life, health, or annuity product to a consumer without reasonable grounds to believe that it is suitable. It would also allow the director to adopt regulations to manage that new requirement. Suitability, particularly with annuity products, is receiving national attention, particularly with equity index annuities and variable annuities. We're watching standards around the country be introduced to regulate those products, and we would like to be able to do that also to protect our consumers. Section 33 is a new section that contains prompt payment of health claim provisions. We repealed those from group health insurance laws and have included them again with individual products so that the same prompt pay requirements apply to individual health products as apply to group products. We have made some changes in annuity. It's called non-forfeiture, and I don't want to talk about terminology. Basically, we're trying in sections 35, 36, and 37 to address annuity products and surrender charges. We are concerned about excessive surrender charges when a product is either no longer the premiums are paid or when it's going to be cashed out. So we'd like to put restrictions on those. And these are in, again, a number of states are taking this type of action. We have also in Section 40 added HIPAA mental health parity provisions back into our laws. They were enacted in 1997. Congress continues to extend those, and we would like to make sure that Alaska's provisions meet those national federal standards. Sections 41 through 43 and 49 repeal the current Small Employer Health Reinsurance Association. It's not being used today. There are only two covered lives in this association. Administrative costs are running $10,000 to $12,000 annually. And we have been in contact with the only company who has the two covered lives. They do not object to us abandoning this particular provision. We've checked with the health insurance carriers, and we have not received any opposition to doing away with this reinsurance association. It's just not being utilized. There is, at the end of the bill, a transition provision to allow for the wrap-up of that. The rest of the bill, and I will again try to briefly go through it, deals with things other than life, health, and annuities. Section 24 is an actuarial opinion model law that we have taken from NAIC. It's a standard that we already have in the life and health lines. This will apply to property casualty insurers. It provides an additional tool the division can use to more quickly identify an insurer that may be in a troubled financial condition. It provides to the division an actuarial opinion summary that will include the actuary's estimates of reasonable estimates of reserves, and it's a tool that we want to have in our tool arsenal, so to speak. Section 28 deals with the licensing of managing general agents. It's basically designed to bring our laws into conformity with laws around the country and other states for managing general agents. Managing general agents are an intermediary between an insurer and usually an agent or broker. They have some underwriting authority, sometimes claims adjustment, and we would like our statute to reflect the common practice around the country. Section 30 allows a division to publish a list of eligible surplus lines insurers on the website instead of mailing it. Clarifies that failure to pay a continuation fee is grounds for removal from the list, and provides authority to reinstate the company under specific provisions, including a payment of a late fee. We're trying to bring the division into more and more accessibility and utilizing electronic means of communication. And Section 34 expands authority for electronic communications if electronic confirmation can be obtained. Section 44 modifies the definition to require licensure for any officer or salaried employees of a title insurance company, consistent with other license classes. Several years ago, we made it a requirement if you were dealing with consumers, an employee of an insurance company also had to be licensed, which was new. This particular industry was omitted in that, and we think that they should all be handled equally. And those are really the major highlights of the bill.
Okay, thank you.
I would be happy to answer any questions or provide additional information.
Well, and wanted to, just for the record, point out that the actual title is much longer than just insurance. So.
Well, just, it's only a half a page.
In your summary, you mentioned a patient's bill of rights, and could you give us a little a little finer point on that, where in the bill and what are you referring to more specifically?
The quote patient bill of rights is part of Title 21, Chapter 7, and it has a variety of And it starts with Section 3 of the bill, where we talk about what insurance companies can do, what rights patients have when they have contracts, and when the insurance company has a contract with a provider. And there are provisions for what has to be in that contract to protect patients' rights. That, as I mentioned, we have the appeal processes and ability for that external review, who can do that external review. Basically, this was done, I believe, with the work of Representative Roekberg a number of years ago. And at the time, I can't answer. Katie Campbell, the life health actuary from the division, is here, who may have more background than I do.
Where I was going with this is I'm wondering if we might just make it as part of the bill as it moves along, a compilation of the patient, you know, some bullet points where this will work well for the lawyers, but for the consumer, if we had just a compilation of...
We can certainly do that. The intent of the bill is not to change that. It's just to bring individuals into that as well as those people who have group health insurance policies. Yeah. But we'd be happy to do that.
I understand that. I'm just trying to make it a little more user-friendly for the public. And could you also give me, and I realize you aren't making changes here, some more information about where Section 15 is going with religious non-medical providers?
Again, it's not an intent to change any substance. It's merely, that is already statutory language. It's a terminology change from health services to medical services. It is a little awkward when you talk about medical services by non-medical providers.
Mm-hmm.
Medical services is defined in Title 21. And it's a fairly extensive definition. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason for this change, to make that term consistent throughout the insurance title.
I understand that.
If you'd like Katie to talk more about that, she'd be happy to do that. Oh, I know.
Okay. All right. Well, perhaps we could invite Katie up to the table. Are there any other questions for Ms. Hall before? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Katie? Just to educate the committee a little bit more about what might be included in Section 15, what activities the religious non-medical providers.
Hi, my name is Katie Campbell. I'm the life and health actuary with the Division of Insurance. The healthcare services definition is actually in the bill in section, is being repealed actually, because we're going to use the general term medical care instead of healthcare mm-hmm. services, but it's included as a repeal, I think. Oh, actually, it doesn't show it because it was just repealed. The medical care definition in our general insurance statutes was a definition developed under the Federal Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And so when that term got adopted, we're trying to convert health care and the reference to that throughout our statutes to medical care, so everything is kind of consistent.
Yeah. And I understand that. I'm just wanting more information about what activities would occur that would be covered by Section 15. We're talking about prayer groups. What are we talking about?
It would probably be easier if I read the definition of medical care.
Okay.
It's diagnosis, care, mitigation, treatment, or prevention of disease, or amounts paid for the purposes of affecting any structure or function of the body. It's a very, very broad definition. The definition of healthcare services as it currently is in our statute, is basically the prevent or treatment of an illness or injury. So this extends the definition to basically any purpose affecting the structure or function of the body.
Questions? If not, thank you. Ms. Smith? Would like to testify? This may get to my question. If you'd identify yourself for the record, please, and your affiliation.
My name is Beverly Smith, and I'm the Alaska Committee on Publication, Christian Science Committee on Publication for Alaska. And you are receiving my testimony for today. And it has two pages because it's specific to Section 15.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was written after I met initially with the Division of Insurance. And then the second one has the definitions in it. It was written today about noon after I received another call from them with this definition of medical care, because I was very concerned that the part that said something about medical care from religious non-medical providers, I thought that was confusing. Would you like me to read the entire
Testimony? If you'd like to summarize it, and okay. Then we'll put the written testimony in the
record. In record, thank you. The first page is basically background of what my capacity is as Christian Science Committee on Publication for Alaska to review legislation to ensure that Alaskans have the choice to pursue spiritual means for prevention and cure of disease, which includes Christian Science care. And then I talk about the bill, 289. But then on the second page, particularly where the definition of medical care, which is very broad, and then the definition of health care, and then it seems awkward to discuss the medical care services provided by a religious non-medical provider as proposed in Section 15 of Senate Bill 289. I can see how it might be confusing in discussions between employees, employers, and administrators of managed care plans. I am satisfied with the use of health care services that is currently in the statute 2107080, and would recommend that the original language used in the statute be retained. However, if the Division of Insurance feels strongly about the use of medical care in Section 15, I would like to see a reference to the definition of medical care provided above inserted in Section 15 so that citizens who are reading it will know how broadly the term medical care is defined. Because otherwise, I mean, when I first read it, I had no idea. So thank you.
Okay, questions? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
And is there anyone else who'd like to testify on Senate Bill 289? Seeing none, we'll set this aside, and we will, I think, schedule it for next Thursday, a week from today. And perhaps Ms. Hall, you could work with Ms. Smith and make sure that concerns that the definitions are as broad as you and I think it is, at least. Okay? All right. Thank you for your help. We're going to stand at ease for a moment. Senate Bill. That'll take us to Senate Bill 253, extension of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. And we do have Tom Maher here to discuss the audit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Tom Maher with the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, Gene Cherio Chair. We have Pat Davidson with us here, of course, if there are questions. Thanks for hearing the bill. This legislation stems from the Sunset Audit Report you should have in your packet, dated September 26. And page 5 of that report really sums up the auditor's conclusions, which is that there's still a public purpose in maintaining this board and extending it. The board safeguards the public interest by promoting competence and integrity of those who practice in the field. It continues to improve its effectiveness and ensure that chiropractors are licensed appropriately in the state of Alaska. So we're asking for an 8-year extension. There were no recommendations made to the legislature, just the extension. And that's pretty much this.
Okay.
Audit.
Questions for Mr. Maher? It's a rather straightforward bill, so if the committee's comfortable, we could move this along.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Seekins.
I move to table indefinitely. I'd move Senate Bill 253 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. There is a fiscal note.
Yeah. Jane?
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Seekins?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
Yes. So we indeed have moved 253 along. That would take us to Senate Bill 254, extension of the PT boat. No, that's the physical therapist, I guess, and occupational therapy board. Mr. Maher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm still Tom Maher. We appreciate you hearing this bill. Again, this stems from a sunset audit report. It's dated September 17th and should be before you. Page 5 on that report also sums up the auditor's conclusion, finding that we should extend this board due to its continuing public purpose. It safeguards the public interest by promoting the competence and integrity of those who practice in this field and continues to improve the effectiveness and ensure a therapist are licensed in the state of Alaska. So we're asking again for an 8-year extension. There were no other recommendations made to the legislature.
All right, thank you. We do have folks on teleconference that would like to testify on this bill. Let's go to Fairbanks. Ruth Carlson, please.
Hi, I'm Ruth Carson, owner of Equinox Physical Therapy. And I'm here with Julia Ment, owner of North Pole Physical Therapy, and we would just like to speak in favor of extending the Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Julie, did you want to speak, or are you just in favor as well?
I'm in favor as well.
All right, thank you, Julie. And Matt Sue, Sunny Hondi?
Sunday Hondel. I'm the president of the Alaska Physical Therapy Association, and I also want to speak on behalf of our licensing board and our state association to also continue its licensure for the next 8 years.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming out.
Thank you so much.
And we do have Alex Kay in Anchorage, but you are just available to answer questions if that was necessary. Is that correct? Is Anchorage on the line? Hello, Anchorage.
Thank you.
Well, as it was an indication of just
that it slid into the ocean.
Just slid. Hey. And who would Fairbanks have to pick on if we would leave?
Kodiak.
Okay. As there was a notation, we're just here to answer questions. We'll move on. And if the board, if the committee is comfortable, Senator Seekins.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Senate Bill 254 from committee with individual recommendations, the attached fiscal note, positive fiscal note.
Yeah. Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Senator Seekins.
Yes.
Senator Bundy. Yes. So we have indeed moved 254. We will not meet next Tuesday because Senator Lisa Murkowski will be here addressing a joint session that afternoon. We will meet a week from today, and on that day we will hear again Senate Bill 289, the insurance bill that we just began today, and Senate Bill 298, trust challenges, claims, and liabilities. That's from Fairbanks. We don't have to listen to that. So if there's nothing more to come before the committee, at 2 o'clock we will stand adjourned.